Talking now with Dan Hulster, of course, United States Meat Export Federation, and lots of good things to be talking with these cattle producers at this cattle industry convention, Dan, about where we are. We've almost got the 2021 numbers in officially in, but just expecting everything that we would expect for December, it's been a phenomenal year.
Yeah, we'll have the final results next week, but we're on track to be a record year. We're 17-18% volume growth, but the real number that to focus on is the 10.6 billion in global beef exports. And you know, demand globally is it's not only solid, but in some cases record breaking. So that's a good thing.
When you start breaking those numbers down, I know several things. I know you're very impressed, but you got to be impressed with China.
Yeah, China without a doubt. I mean, the phase one trade deal that was implemented with China in March of 2020 has turned out just to be a home run for beef producers and for the beef industry in general. We're gonna more than likely top $2 billion in sales to China. And you know, 3 years ago, it was a couple hundred thousand. So, but
not a couple hundred million, but a couple hundred thousand.
Couple hundred thousand. Yeah, we're not talking millions 4 or 5 years ago. But the real impressive thing I think about what's going on, it's the broad-based growth globally. I mean, it's not only China. It's Japan. It's Korea. It's Mexico. It's Central America and South America. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, we weren't even talking about Central America and South America for U.S. beef. We were talking about it for pork, but not beef. So this is really broad-based growth in a lot of markets, which is just like your portfolio. You diversify these markets, it's healthy.
What's been the secret? In other words, you talk about the Latin America region. Why, you know, you always think what that's Argentina and Brazil's area to lose.
Well, yes and no. I mean, Mexico, we have 80-some percent of the imported share. But you're right, Central and South America. But you're seeing growing economies. You're seeing the middle class expand, purchasing power expand. And what happens when that happens? Usually they want a higher quality of protein and food in general. And what we're always trying to do is to tell our story, educate the consumers in these markets. And our goal is to get to the point where price is not the first priority. Quality is the first priority. And I think we're seeing that in markets like Colombia, markets like Chile, for example.
When you think about that mission of the USMEF to basically be that helping hand to bring, you know, get those sales completed, you've been obviously with USMEF for a lot of years. What's really been kind of the secret sauce in trying to work with these countries?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. I think number one, we're an education, we're a resource point, right? We can answer questions. We can tell them about our products. You know, food safety, we're the world leader in food safety reputation-wise. So we build on that. And then you have the quality component, the fact that we have a very high-quality, grain-finished, rich-tasting product. Those two things together are very powerful. So we're out there providing information to these customer bases around the world. But the other thing we're doing simultaneously is we're developing relationships with the importers, with the distributors, with the retailers, with the food service companies, and then our members, the packers, the exporters, the traders that are doing the actual commercial business come in on top of that. And I think that's the secret sauce, is that, you know, you combine those two things, you have a little more expanding middle class with a higher spending power, that converts into new business.
2021, a great year, but not without its troubles. You know, this whole supply chain conversation has included trying to get our U.S. beef successfully out to these countries.
Yeah, who would have thought 3 or 4 years ago that our number one concern would be, shipments, you know, the logistics side of things. We're always concerned with maximizing demand. Well, quite honestly, demand the last year has not been a problem. It's getting it out. And you're right. We've been seeing this now for over a year. We started seeing it at the end of 2020 and early 2021. And it's really, this is one potential area that's a real limiting factor. That being said, the good news is we're getting a lot of awareness in this area. There's a lot of focus on it. It's not a DC regulated environment. It's the Pacific Maritime Commission in the case of the West Coast, which is where we're seeing a lot of our problems. So the fact that we have more focus, the fact that this recent announcement in Oakland, where we have 25 additional acres expanded in a terminal area, will make it easier to get the throughput. But I think bigger than that, there's focus on the Shippers Act from 1984, the 2021 new Ocean Shipping Reform Act that passed the House. If we can get that through the Senate, that would be very positive too, because that in effect helps us enforce the provisions of the original Shippers Act. And today the enforceability of that's somewhat in question. So these are all positives.
And, you know, the announcement of Oakland, you're indicating that especially for chilled beef, that's a valuable increase potentially.
Yeah, good point, Ron. Thanks for reminding me. Oakland's a strategic point because not all, but a lot of the vessels that are going to Asia, the last port of call goes through Oakland. So a lot of the chilled cargo, which is the chilled, never frozen cargo, beef and pork, a lot of that goes through Oakland. Why? Because the shelf life is limited because it's chilled, and you want to have the most available age upon arrival. So very strategic that Oakland is the place that they're focused on with that. That's good news. We need to maximize this value opportunity for the chilled.
What's, in your mind, where is our potential? In other words, how close to the ceiling are we getting right now, given the beef supplies we've got in this country?
Yeah, I think, our forecast for 2022 is we're going to see continued growth, but at a slower rate. I mean, no one would have thought we'd be between 15 and 20% this year. Our forecast for next year is 4 or 5%. So still good growth, and so we think still broad-based, but at a slower rate.
Finally, you know, when you think about maybe some of the unsung heroes of all of this uptick in business here in 2021, you got to include variety meats or those drop credits that it seems like they were a lot kind of lost out there during the first part of the pandemic when we didn't have the labor to actually, you know, harvest those things. And that now they're a big part of the success.
Yeah, without a doubt. $10 billion in sales, a little over $10 billion, over a billion of it, or 10% of it, will be variety meats. So you're talking about tongues going to Japan. You're talking about tripe going to Latin America. You're talking about livers going to Africa and, northern Africa into Egypt. This is all what adds value to the carcass. And you're exactly right. Labor was a challenge, but I think the capture rates are showing that at least to some extent, the labor is being regained to capture some of these variety meats, which is good news for all of us in the supply chain.
Anything in particular you're really going to be paying attention to 2022?
Well, I think, of course, the focus is to try to maintain the momentum that we've had. But I think these emerging regions, Central America, South America, Southeast Asia, even Africa, these are parts of the world that we need to keep our eyes on. And there's while we've had some success in these regions, there's more to be had. And we're going to be talking about those regions a lot more in the future.